I did forget to announce instruction class. Doesn't affect a lot of you, but instruction class is Monday night. Well, for a message this morning, I've been inspired to preach on the parable of the tree. Or you can call it lessons from the tree. And I deal with trees a lot. And I've often been inspired by trees and what they are. And for some time, I've been thinking about bringing a message on this subject. And it'll be somewhat of a science lesson and somewhat of a lot of a spiritual lesson, too, as well, I hope, as we go through and compare these two. Thinking about trees and comparing them to our lives. So, what is a parable? A parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. A parable is also a life lesson. And can trees teach us lessons about life? Apparently they can. Turn over to Psalm chapter 1 for a text verse introduction to the subject. Apparently God thinks that trees can teach us a lot about life because he uses them. I'd like to read the first three verses of Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The righteous are to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And so this morning, I'd like to look at trees this morning, and I have 18 points I'd like to share with you about trees that teach us something about life. Number one, the beginning of life in a tree is a miracle. Scientists, men, have sought to understand life for years and years and years. So simple, you can hold it in your hand, a little seed, a little acorn. You can carry the oak tree around in your pocket, and yet you can't recreate it. The only acorn machine that I know of is the one that God made. Man hasn't come up with a way to produce acorns that people can go and plant. Only God makes that. Life is in the hand of God. You are like an oak tree. Brother Mark has sent around a verse from Psalm 139 this morning, and I thought I'd read a couple more verses from Psalm 139 that talk about that fact, that just as the oak tree is created by, or the tree is created by God, so each one of us has been created by God. The beginning of life is in the hand of God. Psalm 139, verse 14 through 16. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfected. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. And I thought about the acorn being a tree, yet not really looking like a tree in any way, but being the beginning of life of a tree. And if I would have remembered to do it this morning, I remembered it last night when it was too dark to do, I would have went out to the woods and pulled up a tree that had just sprouted. You can still see the acorn, you can see the roots, you can see the leaves starting to grow. But only God can make that happen. And only God can put you here in this world. Each one of you that are here, God puts you here. God puts you here for a purpose. Number two, the continuance of life in a tree is a miracle. And as an arborist, I can seek to preserve the life of a tree. I can try to make it grow and continue to grow. But there's only so much I can do. And sometimes people call me and they want me to straighten out a problem. Here's a tree that is dying. And all I can say is, you know, we can try this, we can try that. But only God can make it grow. Psalm 92, verse 12. Just a few psalms back. Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. God continues to give life. God gives us the ability to produce fruit. It comes from God, just like the tree. Number three, the growth of a tree is a miracle from God. How does a tree get its energy from the sun? How does it store that energy? How does it go dormant in the fall and look very dead and get frozen to minus whatever degrees? Very cold. And yet in the spring, produce a bud again. How does it know when to produce a leaf again? We get a couple of weeks of real warm weather in January. And usually the trees, I mean, they just go right through it. And they don't put their leaves out. They wait. But come March, April, May, they start growing more and more. How does it do that? We're not sure. It happens because God said, let it be. And so it is in the life of a believer. How do we grow? God does it. God does it. We accept it. We ask for it. How can saying a few words, how can praying that prayer change a person? How does it happen? God does it. It's a miracle. Turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 18. The tree is a parable of the kingdom of God. Jesus talked about the tree. Well, he said it was a mustard seed. Luke 13. And we'll read verses 18 and 19. Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Here he says that the kingdom of God is like a tree. It has a very humble start. It starts as that little spark of hope when a person believes in Jesus, when a person believes in God. That voice speaks into our heart. Our conscience is aroused, is awakened, and we begin to follow after God. It starts in such a small way, but as we continue in these steps, these simple little steps, we grow and we grow and we grow. And the kingdom of God cannot be contained. The kingdom of God doesn't know any boundaries. Number five, the kingdom of God is the greatest of all. So is the tree of all plants. The greatest of all the plants. I don't know what all grows in the ocean, but when you think about the land plants, the tree towers over them all. And that is how the kingdom of God is. Of all the things that happen in the world today, the kingdom of God is the greatest of them all. Of all the kingdoms that there are, the kingdom of God is the one that has lasted the longest and will last forever. Number six, there are many predators of the tree. There are many animals, mammals that feed off the branches of a tree. Deer like to eat them when they're young. If you fence in an area and put some goats in it, all the young trees will disappear after a while. And you have the rodents, the rabbits. If you plant a young fruit tree in your yard and you don't protect it, over the winter months, oftentimes a rabbit will come along and chew some of the bark off, and you'll be disappointed. Rodents love that tender bark. And the insects, they do a lot of damage. We saw that a couple years ago when gypsy moths came through and stripped a lot of the mountains of the leaves off the trees. A lot of trees died. It's happening right now with the emerald ash borer. They're killing a lot of trees. They attack it. That's a lesson for us today as well. There are many enemies of the kingdom of God. There are many, many enemies. Jesus said that it's a straight gate, it's a narrow way that enters in, that you enter into the kingdom. But there's a wide way that leads to destruction. And that's the way it is. It's difficult. It can be difficult to live in the kingdom of God. It's a choice. It doesn't happen easily, but it comes by choice. But it leads unto life. Let's not underestimate the power of the evil one. He wants to destroy us. Because we were created in his image, he wants to destroy us. Number 7, the shallowly rooted trees will not last. They won't last. He says here in Psalms that he wants us to be a deeply rooted tree, going after the water. And if we depend on the group for our spirituality, if we depend on a religion to make us spiritual, it won't last. And the times when we stand alone, we're going to fall. Just like we go through and we cut a piece of timber. And if we cut it hard, and it's in a windy area, you go back later, you'll see more trees that have blown down. When they were growing, they were depending on the other trees to keep them standing. They were depending on other trees to give them protection, to carry them through. And the message this morning is that unless our convictions are personal in our life, unless they're based on the principle of the word, we can't expect other people to carry us through to heaven. There's a lot of people expecting their religion to carry them into heaven when it takes the blood of Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with Jesus. Number 8, the lifespan of a tree is comparable to the lifespan of a man. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And a tree does a really good job of teaching us of the brevity of life. The brevity of human life. For a tree to go from a seedling to maturity, a tree in its prime is usually about 75 to 100 years old, somewhere in that range. And you can consistently, even Leo will tell you, he'd rather buy logs that are about 24 to 30 inches in diameter on the small end, 20 to 30 inches, versus the really big ones. Because when you go out to buy trees, the ones that are in that medium range are usually much more consistent on the inside. You know what you're getting. The old ones, you don't always know what you're getting. If they're good, you're really happy. But if they're rotten, you're really disappointed. And so the life of a tree, 80 years to a nice mature tree, that's the way it is with humans. Why does it take so long? Why does it take so long to get a tree into a size you can use? And there's a lot of younger people. I read a book about walnut trees, and it talked about these walnut clubs and the people that join them and the people that go around planting walnut trees. A lot of them are older people are in them, because to them, a tree, they only planted it yesterday, and now it's big. Young people think, oh, it's going to take a long time, and it does. You can count the rings on a tree to see how old they are. You probably knew that. There's a rapid spring growth and a slower summer growth that makes distinct rings. Here a few years ago, we cut down a tree in Hollidaysburg next to one of those old houses right as you're heading north out of Hollidaysburg. I counted the rings on it because I saw they were really, really tight. It's an old white oak. 325 rings I counted. 325. Now, white oaks will live 400 to 500 years in optimum conditions. They live about the longest. Red oaks will live 3 to 4, white oaks 4 to 5. Well, this tree was in someone's front yard, and obviously they had built the house and protected the tree. 325 years, so if you go back from 2000, probably 10 or something when we cut it, back 325 years into the 1680s. What happened in the 1680s? Just amazing when you stop and think about that. How many people lived and died during that span of time, went into eternity, and this tree stood there? Well, William Penn founded Pennsylvania in 1682, so that tree was just starting to sprout and grow, 1682. And for the first 80 years of its life, it grew without any settlers being nearby, because Hollidaysburg... The settlers came to the Hollidaysburg area in 1768. Got that wrong. In 1768, the town of Hollidaysburg wasn't incorporated until 1836. By then, the tree was already 150 years old. That's just amazing when I stop and think about that. Our life is short, and a tree can teach us this. Psalm 37, verse 35. Point number 9, all trees eventually die. Psalm 37, if you get down to the end, verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help him and deliver him. He shall deliver him from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. All trees eventually die. And there's people that are really, really, really disappointed when trees die. Even people that have shed a few trees, a few tears of a tree that has died in their yard. It's one particular I remember. They planted it in memory of their father, and then the tree died. So people even shed tears over the death of a tree. But all trees die. All humans die. All people die. We all die. We will die. There will be an end to us, and we need to reckon with that fact. Number 10. There are many indicators of the health of a tree. There's many things that indicate the health of a tree. Sometimes people call me and they ask me to come look at a tree and they say, I have these big black carpenter ants that are going up and down this tree. What should I do? Can I get an insecticide or what can I put on to kill these ants? Well, the fact of the matter is, it's not the ants' problem that they're there. The ants aren't causing any problem. There's only one reason they're there, is they found some dead tissue to live in. Those ants only eat dead tissue. They only build their homes when something's beginning to die or rot or decay somewhere. They don't live in the living tissue. And if you see ants going up and down a tree, chances are that there's a dead spot somewhere in the tree. And that should be a warning. And so sometimes they set up large colonies inside a hollow tree, a dead tree. Sometimes you see sawdust around the base of the tree that the ants are dropping. Seen that already. And you get the big pileated woodpeckers, or pileated woodpeckers, you can say it either way. And they come and they drill big holes in the tree. And the homeowner tries to shoot the woodpecker because it's killing his tree. And the fact of the matter is, the damage was already done. The bird's there because the ants are there. The ants are there because there's deadness in the tree. It's already happening. The bird is going after the ant. So the ant isn't the culprit, the bird's not the culprit, but there's deadness in the tree. I had to thought about that for a while. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 to 18. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Is there deadness in your life? If you're serving sin, you're producing deadness in your life. I'm producing deadness in my life as I follow after the flesh. And the ants will come and the birds will come, and it will be exposed in my life. Is there hidden sin in my life? You know, sometimes my question is, if we cut our hair like the pop star, we wear shoes like he wears, We listen to his music. We watch his YouTube videos. We use his slang. Yet Jesus is our God. I think you understand. You put in there what you want. There's a lot of different people that we can follow, a lot of different things we can follow that produce deadness in our life. They don't give us life. We need Jesus to give us life. There's another way you can see that something's going on wrong with trees. A lot of times the trees get old, the root systems start to decay and you don't know it. But one of the things you can see is if there's mushrooms growing right out of the base of the tree, around the bottom of it, there's only one reason that mushrooms are there. Mushrooms are a saprophyte. If you remember that from school, they're a saprophyte. They live off of dead tissue. That's what mushrooms grow from. It's one of the reasons I don't like mushrooms. I will leave that where it is. But they grow when there's deadness there. And if you see mushrooms, you know there's a problem. There can be a problem on that tree. The crown of the tree might look fine, but the root system is decaying, either from old age or from some other disease or malady of some kind. One of these days, a storm's going to take it down. And someone's going to say, "Oh, the roots were rotten. What's wrong? How many other ones are this way?" Well, there probably was a few indicators that there was a problem. Everybody was too busy to notice. But we all know. I don't know if the tree knew. Trees can't think. But every one of us knows if there's deadness in our life, if there's a problem. And the question is whether we're going to wait and let the judgment expose it, or whether we're going to be willing to expose it now and take care of it. Why wait? Eventually, everyone will know anyway. 1 Timothy 5:24, "Some men's sins are opened beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after." So let's take care of this deadness in our life. Deadness is things like sin, selfishness, pride, things like that that take us down. They make us dead. That's one of the reasons it's important to prune a tree. If you have, especially if you have an ornamental, a flowering tree, if you leave dead branches in the tree, that's where the fungus overwinters. It lives in the dead tissue of those branches, of the dead branches. If you clean them out, they'll be less likely to have to be attacked with fungus and blight. And that's how it is in our life. The more dead wood that we have, the more dead wood that we allow, the more we involve ourselves in the world, try to put that side by side with our Christianity, the more it will frustrate, the more likely it will be for disease and fungus to take over. Hebrews 9:27, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." The tree can only live once. So it is with us. 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So we're all going to be judged at some time. We're all going to know what's in us. A hollow tree, a rotten tree, isn't worth too much when it's cut down. It's pretty much fit for the fire. Some of my firewood customers, they don't like to see rotten trees either. Then you really don't know what to do with them. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 and verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Just a reminder, it's a certain, this is sure. This is the message God gave to John. John wrote down to give to us today. He saw this in the future coming. This is yet to happen, when all of us will be called to stand before God and we'll be judged. Whether our name is written in the book of life, we'll be judged by our works as well. Another thing you see happening sometimes in the tree is there's dieback from the tips, dieback from the ends of a tree. Just tip dieback, we call it. And a lot of times a homeowner doesn't notice that. You see the tree as a whole, you don't notice the tip dieback until it gets severe. And usually that's another indicator that there's something wrong with the root system, something wrong underground. Maybe somebody put in a new utility or something. Maybe someone put a new sidewalk in and cut some roots. Maybe it was drought sometimes causes that as well. And sometimes, depending what it is, if they filled it in with too much dirt around it or something like that, it's causing it. You can remedy the situation. But if you ignore it, it becomes too late. And that's the way it is with our life. We can see these little indicators. We can see the ants. We can see the fungus. We can see the dieback. We can do something about it, or we can just let it go and reap whatever we reap. Number 11, a rotten heart can be hid for many years, but sooner or later, the test of time will expose it. You can hide that for many years. And according to the USDA, if you have 1/3 the diameter of a tree, even if it's hollow, it's still considered safe. So if you have a tree that's 24 inches in diameter, and you have at least 4 inches of good wood on each side, that's a total of 8, that's considered safe. That's the minimum. So as long as you have a strong shell, you're good. Now, if you have a cavity on the one side that opens into that shell, could be a problem, or if you have rot in addition to that. But if you have a strong shell, they say the minimum is 1/3 the diameter. You can still call it safe. You don't have to worry about damage. The question I have in thinking about that was, are we trying to get through with the minimum? We're trying to get through with the minimum. What's God's minimum requirement for me? Okay, I'll do that. Does God have minimum requirements? Is that the way God operates? Does he have minimum requirements for us? In Isaiah chapter 6, I won't turn there, but verses 9 to 13, there's a message there that God was preaching. God had Isaiah speak to the people of his people. And he told them about a tree. He says, "You people, you're going to get cut off. You're going to get destroyed. Only a tenth of you will remain. All the rest of them were carried off to captivity. Very few remained." He said, it's like a tree. It's not real clear, but you can see the picture if you read those verses. So it's like a tree that the old leaves have to get cast off so the new leaves can grow. And there are some trees that do hold their leaves through the winter months into the spring. Certain species do, and younger trees tend to do it more too. And but that old has to be cut away, cast away, for the new to grow. Number 12 is the term shake. Some of you may know what shake is. There's a condition in trees that what we find in logs after you cut the trees down. And it can be a real disappointment. One of the things that a timber buyer is always careful about when he's looking at a stand of timber, he also always has to remember that there could be shake in a tree. Shake can come in two ways. But the most common way that it happens is the rings of a tree, as the tree grows. And we think it comes from wind blowing. But as the tree grows, it has lots of circles, lots of rings. And what can happen in a tree, as you get shake, is these rings will separate. And usually it's sometimes a complete circle, but often it's just part. You might find part here or there, where the rings actually separated from each other. And that's a real disappointment to an uneducated sawyer, because when you start sawing that log in the boards, you start making these cuts across here, these boards will fall apart. They'll fall apart right where the rings are separated. And sometimes the shake is obvious. Sometimes to an untrained eye, you don't see it real well, especially in hemlock. You hardly see it. But when you start cutting it, it falls apart. Suddenly you can't do much with it. It's worthless. Use it for firewood. Thought you had a nice log, but it fell apart. And usually it's wind that causes this. You find it on a ridge. Oftentimes the wind blows it. Tree in an open place. The storms of life shake us, don't they? But do they crack us to our core? My prayer is that the winds of change wouldn't cause us to allow our doctrine to break down, allow it to be harmed. That can happen. You know, those cracks in the board lessen what you can use that for, but cracks in our doctrine, if we start to water down what we believe, if we start to back away, and, you know, if you don't go into combat, maybe you can serve in the military, you know. If you, well, separation, as long as you have in your heart, if it's not in everyday life, it's not as important. We'll let this go, we'll let that go. As long as your heart's right, make sure your heart's right. We start following those roots, we're allowing cracks to develop. And our influence on the world, our influence in life is going to be greatly diminished. But wind is not all bad. Number 13, wind is not all bad. Scientists have done studies in controlled environments. They planted trees in greenhouses, and in this greenhouse, they watered it the same as in this greenhouse. Everything the same, same amount of light, same amount of everything. In this greenhouse, everything was perfect. In this greenhouse, they hooked a mechanical shaker to all the trees. And every so often, it would shake the trees. This one, nothing shook them. This one, it shook the trees. What do you think happened over a few years' time? The ones that were shook did not grow as fast as the ones that didn't. The ones that were in a perfect controlled environment grew taller. But when they took those trees and they planted them out in the open, the ones that had been shaken were stronger. They were able to withstand a lot more. We talked about that earlier, and we talked about the trees that blow down in a forest when you open it up too much. But when we have the storms of life, we are shaken. There's no doubt we are shaken. Well, if we do not allow them to shake us to our core, but we are shaken, it can make us stronger. Weston talked about that in devotions. It can make us stronger. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read a couple of verses here. Hebrews 12 and verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto us as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Why do bad things happen to good people? Bad things happen to good people because God knows it can make us stronger. Job chapter 5, verse 17. I'd like to read a couple of verses in Job 5 as well on this thought. I guess I didn't remember that these verses were in here. Job 5, verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thy offspring shall be as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this, we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. I just thought that was interesting. I like those pictures. But he says, yes, God allows pain, but he also heals. And I just thought about the fact, though, you know, you're trying to plow a field, the stones work against you. But here it says you're going to be in league with them. They're going to help you. And that's the way it is with disappointment in our lives. It can be a help to us. It can become in a league with us to help us in our journey towards heaven. And we do that with trees. Sometimes we thin them out. We prune them. We cut off extra growth that's growing the wrong way. Or maybe there's too much weight. Maybe a tree's too thick. It's choking itself out. We prune it. We straighten it up. Talked to a man the other day. He called me out to cut down a few dead trees. And I said, you got a pin oak there in front of the house. Will you let me prune that tree for you? I said, that thing could really look a lot better if you took the dead wood off. Because pin oak trees don't drop their dead branches. They hang on to them. If you clean that dead wood out, it's going to be much better for it. Well, another thing about trees is when they come under stress, when they start to die, they often produce a lot more fruit than normal. Something about woody plants that's that way. As they start to die, they produce a tremendous amount of fruit. Often they do. Now, I guess it's perhaps a reproduction method. I don't know if God put it in it to, when a tree dies, it's going to reproduce itself before it's gone. It's more likely to grow, but it can happen that way in a believer's life. A little bit of discipline, we produce more fruit for God. Jesus talked about it in one of the parables in Luke chapter 13. He talked to the man that went out to dress his vineyard, and he saw a tree that wasn't producing fruit. And he said, cut it down, get rid of it. And the dresser said, no, let me dig about it. Let me dung it. Let me see if it'll bear some fruit. And if it doesn't, then we can cast it away. Well, it is true. Some woody plants, if you cut the roots, it's one of the common remedies for a wisteria plant if it won't produce flowers. If you take a spade and you cut some of the roots around it, oftentimes it'll produce more flowers after you do that than before. And that's what God does in our life. Allows that pain to help us produce fruit. Number 14, human reasoning is trumped by the truth. Human reasoning is trumped by the truth. There have been a lot of ideas and theories over the years of what to do with trees, problems in trees. And one of the ones that is still here, and there's still people making money off of it, and if it makes you feel better, you can do it. But research has shown that painting the wounds of trees, it's neither here nor there. You can paint them with tar. You can paint them with paint. You can do what you want. But the best thing you can do for a tree when you're pruning it is prune it correctly. Cut the branch, not the trunk. Make the proper pruning cut. We could go into the science of that if you wanted to see it. But we're running out of time. But you would think that, okay, let's seal it off here so nothing can get in. But you're also sealing, you can seal moisture in. And that's not good either. You wouldn't believe what all I found in trees. It's not so common to do it anymore, but probably 30, 40, 50 years ago, it was pretty common to put concrete into cavities of trees. Somehow you were going to, I guess, block out stuff getting in so it didn't rot or something. Well, you also trap moisture inside. Also climbed up in trees already, and there was pieces of rubber stapled over a hole in a tree. Someone's trying to keep the rain out. Also been in trees, and this one's, I would probably do a little quickly, maybe a little more, seem to make sense in my head, but it doesn't help anyways. Expanding foam. Spray it in the cavity. Fills the cavity. Easy fix. Doesn't help. You know that's how it is. Man is constantly trying to improve on God's plan. I already brought it up in Sunday school, but I was going to bring it up in the message today. Because we're going to have to speak out against it. This transgender movement, this gay rights, it's okay, I was born in the wrong body, I'm going to change, I'm going to be a woman instead of a man, or a man instead of a woman. Man is constantly trying to improve on what God has already made, and it's wrong. It's from the devil. He wants to destroy what God made. Let's not try to improve on God's plan. And we do it in a lot more subtle ways than that. Let's be careful with that. Another lesson from the tree. What happens when a tree falls against another tree, strips the bark off, or maybe someone cuts some of it off, or you have a lightning strike or something like that? probably can illustrate it best with it.
When you have a tree growing, you have a branch that grows, and you make the proper pruning cut. What I do with the eraser? You cut that branch off, and the tree begins to grow again. And trees aren't like humans.
You cut your hand, your body heals itself. The dead tissue is discarded, new tissue grows in its place.
With the tree, it continues to grow. Every year it grows a new layer of tissue. And it begins to grow over that wound. And the next year, it grows a little farther. And eventually, you'll still see the cut face on the outside of the tree and know that something happened.
But eventually it grows over. We say it compartmentalizes. Trees don't heal. They compartmentalize. They grow over it. And a healthy tree can compartmentalize quickly and grow over it and seal it up. An unhealthy tree will sit there for many years and it will rot and decay, and the tree will have to be cut down. Zeal in our Christian life will help us to handle the difficulties in life. If we're zealous, if we're zealous for God, if we're on fire for God, these bad things happen to us, we can move on. But if we're just drifting along, or if we're in despair about everything and we're focused on ourselves, and that's the kind of life we're living, these bad things happen to us, we'll let them remain open for many years. We won't take care of it, and it'll be a danger to us, be a disappointment to us. The slow growth of a sick tree allows for much rot and decay to happen, but a healthy tree rapidly grows over the wound and seals it off. Number 16, what is a tropism? Does anybody know what a tropism is? Plants have it. Maybe you remembered it from biology class. I remembered it from school.
A tropism is an occurrence where it responds to a specific outside force.
Right.
Like, for example, if you plant upside down, the leaves will come around in the sunlight. Is
it? That's right. Okay. Well, it may be that. It may be also geotropism that makes it do that as well. There's several different tropism.
Well, I don't need to write these words up here.
But a tropism is a tree's growth in response to a stimuli of some kind, a plant's response to it. And there's a lot of different ones. The one you already mentioned, two of them, is they will respond to gravity. They'll grow the opposite way, geotropism, or phototropism, if I'm saying these things right, is response to light, where a tree will grow towards the light. And hydrotropism is response to moisture. A tree will grow towards water. And there's a lot more. It's probably only a third that's listed in the place I looked. But in thinking about that geotropism response to gravity, let's grow away from sin. Let's grow away from sin. Let's turn away from sin. A tree grows against gravity and grows towards God. Also, it grows towards the light. Let's grow towards the sun. Let's grow towards Jesus. And let's grow towards the living water. It's a lesson for us today. Number 17. There are many lessons to be learned from pruning and grafting, and I'm not going to get into all that today. I could keep going for quite a while on the pruning and grafting, but let's remember that we were of the carnal stock. We are of the carnal stock. We are. We are naturally born in sin. We're naturally born a bad person, but we can be grafted into the kingdom of God. We can receive a graft that will produce fruit and life in our life. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's receive with meekness the engrafted word, which can save our souls. And the last point I had, which is not the least, but you remember what Jesus was crucified on? What provided our redemption? It was a tree. Savior hung upon the tree as he died for us and shed his blood for us. And I don't want the focus to be on the tree today, but I want the focus to be on the master that died for us, the master that created the tree as a lesson to us. Let's remember what he did. And hopefully when you see a tree in the future, you'll look at it in a little bit of a new light. But if you forget everything else, remember to grow towards Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this moment in time that you have blessed each one of us that are here this morning, Lord. We thank you that you have given us health and strength. You've given us the ability to come and sit down in this service this morning and to be enriched by your word. Thank you, Lord, for the lessons that we find in life. So many experiences that we encounter every day. And nature teaches us of you and points us towards you. Thank you, Lord, for this tender care of each one of us. Father, help us to be trees that are growing, plants that are growing, always growing in a healthy way towards you, able to withstand the pressures of life, able to withstand the diseases, the temptations, the problems that come our way. Father, help us to be useful, fruitful, able to give refuge to the animals, the birds, able to be used to build in your kingdom in any way that you ask us to. Help us to be willing to follow, Lord. I pray for each one here this morning for their individual struggles. I pray that this could be an encouragement to them, that they could continue in their journey towards heaven. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.